From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Hey Mason here, July 19th. The opening read, five stories that explain today's tape. Let's get into it. First, from the Daily Upside. Love is inflation-proof. American shrug off, record high wedding costs. Anyone whose vacation budget is already blown, thanks to tuxedo rentals, bridesmaid dresses, destined for the back of the closet, and airfare to the Chicago suburbs, substitute your childhood home here, knows that it's peak wedding season. More than three-quarters of the year's marriage ceremonies occur between May and October, according to wedding planning website The Knot. Next, second, from Zero Hedge. White DSA member inadvertently exposes socialist playbook. Secret Nazis are fine if they advance agenda. Emma Vigeland, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, made a telling statement on a Vox podcast. She said she doesn't care if a progressive or socialist candidate has Nazi skeletons in their closet, as long as they vote for the right things. This comment has sparked outrage, with some pointing out that it's not the first time a DSA member has been associated with Nazi symbolism. Graham Platner, a far-left Democrat candidate in Maine, was previously exposed for having a Totenkopf tattoo, a symbol associated with the Nazi SS. Vigeland's comments have led some to wonder if there's a difference between Democratic Socialists and National Socialists. Critics argue that the DSA's emphasis on advancing a socialist agenda, regardless of personal character, is a disturbing trend. The DSA's nation-killing agenda to collapse America has been a topic of concern for some time. A prominent Bill Clinton insider even wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal calling for an investigation into the DSA's funding sources. Vigeland's comments have shed light on the DSA's willingness to overlook personal character if it means advancing their agenda. It's worth noting that the DSA's actions and rhetoric have been criticized by many, including some on the left. Vigeland's comments are just the latest example of the DSA's willingness to push the boundaries of what's considered acceptable in the pursuit of their goals. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. Up next, third, from Zero Hedge. Iran's reliance on China's Beidou satellite system is a game-changer in war with U.S. Authored by former CIA officer Larry Johnson, during the 12-day war in June 2025, Iranian missiles and drones struggled against sophisticated Israeli and American electronic warfare. GPS jamming and spoofing repeatedly disrupted their guidance systems, limiting their effectiveness during the intense 12-day conflict. Fast forward to early 2026, and the battlefield dynamics had shifted dramatically. And then, fourth, from Fast Company. The Strait of Hormuz crisis is exposing a hidden food risk. New fertilizer tech could help. When ships can't make it through the Strait of Hormuz, the fallout goes beyond the price of oil. Nearly a third of the world's fertilizer also passes through the corridor, coming from factories in countries like Qatar. Fertilizer prices have surged due to the Iran war, and added one more reason that food prices are going up around the world. Better technology could help. Right now, most fertilizer is made using the Haber process, a technique developed more than a century ago that starts with natural gas. It's a major source of emissions and also a supply chain risk. Next, fifth, from Zero Hedge. Welcome to Trillionistan. Don't get comfortable. Hey buddy, I wanted to share this article with you. So, you know how we used to talk about billions being a huge number? Well, now we're in Trillionistan, where 12 American companies have market capitalizations of over $1 trillion, with Apple approaching $5 trillion. BlackRock manages over $15 trillion in assets, and the largest tech firms are investing trillions in data centers, semiconductors, and power systems. Governments have been here for a while, with the U.S. national debt crossing $1 trillion in 1981. Now, annual deficits exceed the entire national debt from 45 years ago, and the country's current indebtedness is in the hundreds of trillions. The article argues that inflation is part of the explanation for these huge numbers, but it's not the only factor. The economy has grown, and companies are serving billions of customers, creating intellectual property that generates returns worldwide. However, it's easy to confuse nominal dollar records with real value-driven ones. The author says that sound economics cautions against confusing abstract money prices with the goods and services they represent. Wealth is created when entrepreneurs discover more valuable ways to arrange scarce resources, and market prices signal judgments about those uses. A $1 trillion company, for example, is not a warehouse containing $1 trillion, but rather the market's estimate of future earning power. Stock prices condense millions of judgments about technology, competition, and consumer demand into a single signal of likely value. The article also discusses how monetary policy choices can warp entrepreneurial judgment and promote male investment. Persistently easy credit and artificially suppressed interest rates can encourage longer duration projects and inflate financial valuations beyond the economy's underlying productive capacity. So the question is not whether another company will cross the $1 trillion threshold, but what kind of trillion it will be. One representing genuine wealth creation, one reflecting the capitalization of future possibilities, or one inflated by monetary expansion. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. Up next, sixth from Zero Hedge. Election integrity. Is representative democracy a foolish fantasy? Authored by Brandon Smith via altmarket.us. The U.S. Constitution is perhaps the most significant historical and governmental document in a millennia. It established the modern conception of the Western Republic, along with true representative government designed to answer to the people rather than rule over the people. The Bill of Rights outlined clear restrictions on federal and state powers to legislate away the inherent and God-given freedoms of the citizenry, an accomplishment which had been attempted in the past, but was never truly realized until the War for Independence and the creation of, and then. Seventh, from Forbes Business, Reese Esponder wins U.S. Classic over Olympic champion Jade Carey. So Reese Esponder just took the top spot at the U.S. Classic with a career-best score, beating out Olympic champ Jade Carey. That's a pretty big deal. Esponder's score was the highest we've seen from her so far. Jade Carey, who's an Olympic champion, came in second, which is still super impressive. And then there's Caitlin Ohashi, the former UCLA star, who made a strong showing in her first senior elite competition. She's definitely one to watch. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. Next, eighth, from DeFi Education. DeFi Roundup, July 4th, July 17th, 2026. Hey, so Bitcoin's been holding steady above $60,000 for 2 weeks now, and it's been trading in a pretty narrow range up to $65,000. That's a decent chunk of stability, but we know how quickly things can change in crypto. The ETH-BTC ratio has been relatively flat too, which is interesting considering the recent hype around Ethereum. I've been keeping an eye on this, and it's worth noting that the total value locked in DeFi protocols has been slowly creeping up, now sitting at around $15 billion. That's a significant milestone, and it shows that investors are still confident in the space. One of the more interesting developments has been the rise of a new stablecoin called Nova. It's been gaining traction fast, and it's now the fourth largest stablecoin by market cap. I've been looking into it, and it seems like Nova is trying to differentiate itself by offering a more decentralized approach to stablecoin issuance. That's definitely something to keep an eye on, especially if you're interested in the future of DeFi. On the governance front, there's been some movement on the MakerDAO front. The protocol's governance token, MKR, has been trading in a tight range, but there's been some interesting discussion around potential changes to the protocol's risk parameters. It's worth keeping an eye on, especially if you're invested in Maker or DeFi more broadly. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Ethereum. Link in show notes. Up next, 9th from Business Insider. After a decade of teaching college, these are the lessons I wish every freshman already knew. Hey, so I was reading this article about what parents should teach their high school graduates before they head off to college. The author, a mum of four, who's also taught over 1,000 college students, says that knowing a few key things can make a big difference in a student's success. First, they emphasize the importance of communication. Teach your kid to introduce themselves to their teachers, send respectful emails, and advocate for themselves. Don't try to talk to teachers on their behalf. That's their time to learn. Next, they suggest taking a self-defense class with your kid, or sending them to one specifically designed for their age. College campuses can be beautiful, but they can also be intimidating and even unsafe. A self-defense class can give them confidence and you some peace of mind. The author also stresses the importance of setting good boundaries. This isn't about controlling others, but about knowing what you will and won't do, what you'll tolerate, and achieving the life you want. For example, if your kid knows they'll oversleep if they stay out too late, they can set a boundary to be in their dorm by 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday nights. Another key thing is to research the college's opportunities and plan for your kid to explore them. Too many students feel lost and unengaged, especially if they don't join groups or clubs until later in the semester. Encourage your kid to seek out sports, gaming, learning a new skill, or joining local events. Lastly, the author emphasizes that mental health matters. Teach your kid to verbalize their struggles and seek help if they're facing depression or anxiety. Meet with them as a supportive listener if they express their struggles, and remember that grades matter less than mental well-being in the long run. For listeners who want low-fee crypto exposure, our markets partner Kraken supports Bitcoin. Link in show notes. And then, 10th, from Charles Hugh Smith, the upside of civilizational psychosis. When the cost of staying in a system outpaces the payoff, people start to opt out. That's the core signal. Thomas Homer Dixon points to the Roman Colosseum, built with massive labor and resources, as a snapshot of an empire that could still pour effort into grand projects while ordinary citizens felt the tax burden and endless wars outweigh any benefit. He then turns to the Khmer civilization, where the gradual loss of water management skills let agriculture slip, not because of a sudden catastrophe, but because enough people stopped maintaining the infrastructure. Across history, the pattern repeats. Once sacrifices eclipse rewards, the collective will erodes, and the whole system begins to decay. That's the read. Watch the tape, ignore the noise, back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.